Good morning.
Good morning.
Our thanks to the choir. Very nice. It's amazing how quickly they pull that together. That was wonderful. And as far as music goes, I'd like to thank all the parents of the young ladies who paid for their music lessons. These precious young ladies who are over here in the ensemble, very, very nice. Another thing I noticed is that Miss Chloe Shaw, when she plays the hymns, sings along with them. Don't always see that. I'm told her mother does the same, maybe her sister. So that's always nice to do. On the other hand, I'm a little embarrassed about the families helping families, that there's only a quarter. I'm embarrassed. I haven't put anything in. It's obvious the only one who has is the festival coordinator. So we'd like to thank him for setting the example. By the way, I need to correct something. I'd been telling people that the two gentlemen who gave the opening and closing prayer on the opening night were both 91, and I was corrected on that. The man who gave the closing prayer is 93. He's got a better memory than I have. I've been around him to see his memory. So he is in the Kansas City, Kansas church, sitting back here with his brother. So 2 years ago he was here with his wife, who has since passed, as is my wife. He misses her. Misses taking care of it. I appreciate the sermonette this morning by Mr. Wilkie. He told me he was going to cover everything that I was going to cover. He didn't. But he certainly gave a wonderful sermonette, and I appreciate it very much. He talked as we usually do. You know, the feast, we usually talk about the wonderful world tomorrow and the lambs dwelling with lions, although the Bible never actually says lions are dwelling with lambs. It's the wolf. But we put the lion and the lamb together. It says lion will eat straw, but I've often said it doesn't say they won't eat lambs. Be like popcorn, you know. One lion will say to the other, I bet you can't eat just one. No, that's not true, kids. They will not eat lambs. Now, we talk about the beauty on earth, the disease that will be removed, all nations will dwell in peace, and that's wonderful. So we're concentrating on things, frankly, that we will not ourselves take part in. We won't necessarily be sitting under our own fig trees and our own vines. So I would like to talk a little bit today about what will happen to us. A little bit that's on that. We'll all be delivered from Satan. I want to talk about that, just a bit of how we're already, in one way, and there's more than one way, but one way that we are already delivered from Satan. And if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Starting in verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Jesus took flesh and blood. Quite a sacrifice. You and I are flesh and blood. That through death, he might destroy him. Now the word destroy, the word that's from the Hebrews here can be brought to nothing. Or the American Standard Version has brought to naught. Or the 20th century New Testament has render powerless. Doesn't mean he'll die. But that he might render perilous, powerless, I should say, him who had the power of death. That is the devil. He caused the first death on this earth when Cain slew Abel. But the Bible says Satan was a murderer from the beginning. So the inspiration was of Satan. And he has the power of death. And he causes a lot of death. You know, it's just hard for me to imagine that he, just the sadism that's involved. Now, we have to be careful. We need to respect his office. But he could stop all the torture. I mean, he watches people torturing people in North Korea, in Syria, and it doesn't seem to bother him. And he could stop it if he wanted. But it doesn't seem to bother him at all. He has the power of death. But notice verse 15. And this is something that applies to us now. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now that is a slavery to be afraid of dying. And let's face it, it is natural for all human beings, including you and me, to be afraid of dying. Now I was married to someone who never expressed our entire marriage, over 53 years, never, ever expressed fear of death. She expressed fear of being in a hospital and intubated. And said, never. She said, take me home, let me die in bed. If I fall over, she was very much afraid of having tubes stuck in her. Never afraid of death. But you know, it's natural for all of us to be a little afraid of death. And I want to talk about that today. That is a bondage from which you and I can be freed in this lifetime. Because we look forward to what we are here picturing, and that is the kingdom of God, a time when we will never ever die. And I was thinking, listening to the sermonette to Mr. Wilkie, he talks about how his wife will be able to see him, what kind of a shock it will be. He may have to show her a picture, but he won't be the old man with the, you know, he may have white hair. He won't be wearing glasses. He'll have a new body. Glorious, the Bible says. Glorious, like the body of Jesus Christ. So he may have to say, I'm Elmer. And then say, now here's a picture of how I looked. And she'll say, oh, I'm so glad you've been improved. I'm glad I just remembered you when you were young. Well, think of that. Relieved. It's natural for us. You know, sometimes in the last weeks and months of someone's life, they will do anything to try to live longer. They'll go to the hospital. I had a friend. She was in a milk co-op with us, and she had cancer. She was not a member of the church. She was a Mormon. Very nice lady, very nice husband. And Suzanne And in the last years of her life, and she tried every diet. She flew to Mexico, tried some thing that they had down there at the clinic that they weren't allowed to have here in the U.S. And many people will in the last years of their lives, and that's fine, that's their decision, just use every bit of their insurance. There may be an upper limit. And there have been cases where the mate has been left in poverty because they used all of their retirement income in the last weeks and months of one of their lives. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened. Has left the rest of the family or the mate destitute, seeking to live a little longer. Now, that's everybody's individual decision. But even though we're in the body of Jesus Christ and looking forward to the kingdom of God, you know, we're not immune to fearing physical death. I've never died. And the thought of it can be a little, you know, scary. Or as one man told me, and I like the way he said this, and I've quoted him many times. He said, "I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Maybe a lot of you feel the same way. Well, I want to examine some verses today that are encouraging to us. By the way, this is not put together because I lost my wife recently. I put these verses together years and years ago when a very precious lady in the church was dying. She knew she was dying. Her name was Gradia White, precious lady in the Nashville congregation. This is probably 25 years ago. And I just got every encouraging verse that I could get, that I thought of at the time, put them together and went down to the hospital bed, and I think she was in a nursing home by then, and maybe under hospice care, because hospice was just coming in, and to that area of Nashville, and read these verses to her, and I've saved them and read them to people who were terminal, knew they were, ever since. But these are verses that are encouraging to me, thinking about the world tomorrow. And of course, they're more meaningful to me now that I've lost my wife, that's true. And the title of this message is Released from the Bondage of the Fear of Death. See, isn't that what it says right there in verse 15? And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If we are afraid of death, and that's natural, that is a bondage. You know, when you feel good, you feel like, boy, I'm just going to live forever. But then sickness can happen to all of us have had it happen. We feel awful. Got the flu. Something else happens. Can happen suddenly. And there we are. Now there is a balance. Because we should take care of our bodies. I mean, what has your body done for you? If you've had headaches, it's because you're flesh. If you've had colds and flu, feel rotten in bed, your whole body's aching, you've got the fever, chills. I've had malaria in Nigeria. That would be a bad way to die. Tell you what, I had some medicine, I took the medicine, but still, I was in pain. And that is a bad way to die. You have fever, you've got diarrhea, you're vomiting. So I would get out of bed, and the Africans think nothing of just coming right in your room. So I'm in bed in my underwear, and nauseous, diarrhea, and I'd get up, and they're thinking nothing of me getting up walking in my underwear. If I'd walked up nude, they would have thought nothing of it. You know, they actually dress modestly, but if they have to do something where they don't have clothes on, nobody pays any attention. Not like nursing here, where ladies cover up. I can't think of a better word, but where they just pull out their breasts. I was thinking of the word flop, but anyway, to bring their breast out and put the baby on, nobody pays any attention to that. Men walk to the side of the road to relieve themselves. Nobody thinks anything of it. But anyway, I was over there and I'd walk in the bathroom and it was just the question, which part of my body should I aim at the toilet first? I was just thankful I had a toilet because I haven't always had one that works when I was in Africa. But that would be a bad way to die. It was painful. It went away. But we can be very afraid of dying. But there are a lot of verses that tell us, you know, we really don't have to be under that bondage. That there's something so much better than flesh. So much better. Where you'll never have a headache. Never have a stomach ache. Never be tired. Never have a backache, won't have to seek anointing for anything, will feel good always, every second for eternity. So I'd like to look. There's a balance. We should take care of our bodies. I mean, these bodies don't belong to us. Your body belongs to God. And He has given it to you. Flesh for a little time so that you can prepare yourself to live eternally as a spirit. But while you still have this body that belongs to Him, you should take care of it. Me too. We should glorify God in our bodies. So I'm not saying neglect the body. Take care of your body. But when God says you have suffered enough in that body, we don't have to fear that. Now, there are a few verses I'm not going to ask you to turn to. There's something you have to give up to be in God's kingdom. Did you have to give up cigarettes? Some of you did. Did you have to give up a job on the Sabbath? Some of you did. Did you have to give up bacon? Shrimp? Something that you enjoyed eating? You know something you all have to give up? We all have to give up? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You're just not going to make it in God's kingdom in that body that you're in right now. You want to be in God's kingdom. God wants you to be there. You're not going to go in that body. You're going to have to let that body die, even if it's in a moment or a twinkling of an eye. It's got to go. You're not going to make it. You and I have taken care of these bodies all our lives. When we're thirsty, we have given ourselves liquid. When we're hungry, we have fed ourselves. When we're cold, we've kept these bodies warm. When the bodies are hot, we try to get them cool. When they're tired, we put them in bed to let them sleep. And we have cared so carefully for our bodies, as our mothers did. But that body is not going with you in the kingdom. You're going to have to give it up. So that body has to die. We're afraid to die. We've got to die or we'll never be in God's kingdom. So there's a balance. We've got to let God choose that time, not ourselves. There's another scripture that Jesus had, and I'm not going to turn to it, said. He said, the flesh profits. Anybody know the next word? Nothing. Think of that. Our bodies profit nothing. Nothing. Now, you can think of exceptions like Lucretia's and my bodies made four children, one of them who's here. 52 years ago, this skinny, pitiful little baby, I woke up all night long to see if he's still breathing. had him in a little car bed on my side. Lucretia had bled a lot, so she couldn't really take care of him the first 3 days. But I'd bring him, and she'd put him on her breast. She had tiny little breasts. Some people laugh when I say that. But within a month, he was a fat butterball. So that her flesh did wonderful things. But in the long run, his flesh profits nothing. Now, that cute little fat boy is 52 years old. He's bald as I am. He's got a beard. Normally when I introduce him as either my father or my older brother. The flesh profits nothing. And another statement, Peter quoted the Old Testament, Isaiah. All flesh is as grass. Think of that. All that we see around us, just like grass. And all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 16 and read all the way into chapter 5, verse 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Are you falling apart? Have you been anointed this feast? Some of you have. I've anointed quite a few. Your eyes failing, your ears failing. I've already had a gentleman tell me he's falling apart. This morning, he's down here laughing, Mr. Will Berg. He's 91. He did the opening prayer for us, opening night. He looks good to me. His memory's good. But we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. Now this that really sinks home better for those of us who are a little older. I feel young around Mr. Hudson and around Mr. Berg. I'm 77. You know, my body's failing. I can kneel for about 15 minutes now to pray. And then I just have to say, excuse me, Father, I'm going to have to finish this prayer sitting. I can't kneel over 15 minutes. Boy, especially my left knee. It starts aching. Though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction. I've had hepatitis C, a little worse than malaria. And I'm one of the few whose body actually defeated it. And it's gone. They can't even find it. The malaria, I've not had it return. Some types of plasmodiums will lodge in the liver and return when you get weak, but I've not had it. Light affliction. The sicknesses that you've had. Light affliction when you compare it to eternity. Which is but for a moment. All the troubles we have, all the sickness, all the disease. Granddaughter was sick, crying a few days ago before she flew to England for the feast. She says she's better, still has a little cold, but she's up and enjoying the feast now. But I was praying for her. Light affliction, which is but for a moment, no matter what it is, cancer, heart disease, compared to eternity, it's a light affliction which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I find it interesting how often in the Bible, when it talks about our suffering, the word glory is somewhere in that passage about the future. See, we read about the glory of grass is just for a moment. But the glory that God is going to give you is going to be eternal. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Everything that you have ever seen in your life, or me, is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Your body, body of your mate, your children, the rocks, the hills, all going to pass away. And the things which are not seen that God has prepared for us are eternal. Now chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, I've lived in tents. I enjoyed going camping. Lucretia was not quite as thrilled, but she loved me and she would go. But tents are just here for a moment. That's what our bodies are, just tents. If our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's our new bodies that are waiting for us. Eternal. Verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, which is what we're in now, groan. And we do groan. Pain, headaches, suffering, sick stomachs. I've anointed a lady who had a sick stomach. Come think of it, she's here. There she is, right back there. So, she couldn't come to services yesterday. God has restored her at least enough that she's here. Thank you, Father. Prayed for you this morning, so here she is. God can help us through. But let me tell you, her body is going to give her trouble again. And her husband, and you, and me. We're all going to have trouble. Because we who are in this tent, in this flesh, in the body that you're in right now, groan. Being burdened. Not because we want to be unclothed, not because we're asking to die. Right? It's not death that we're looking forward to, but further clothed. It's the change out of the flesh. But the flesh has to die before we can get into the new body. So it isn't just, well, boy, I want to die. I want to be further clothed. I want to get into a new body. That mortality, which is all that you and I are, just mortals, may be swallowed up by life, real life, eternal life, life that will never end. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 through 24. Philippians chapter 1. And verse 20. according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. So our bodies can magnify Christ by what we do and how we live and show His glory in our physical lives. Whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, when I first lost the Christian, I know there are a lot of widows and widowers here. How many of you in the first week or month or whatever after you lost your mate, you just felt like you had no reason to live? I thought, why am I alive? What good is life without the Christian? And my kids didn't like that attitude at all. And I still have opportunity to serve. And that's what he's saying. He said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's God's decision, not mine, not yours. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. If God leaves us alive, we can still serve in the flesh. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two. Now notice this, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. You know, the very moment that we die, in our minds, we will be with Christ. It may be years, but in our minds, we will be with Christ. When Lucretia had her first seizures, she was unconscious for 23 hours. And when she woke up, we didn't know if she'd wake up. We weren't sure. And I said, I love you. And she said, I love you. And we started crying that she had responded. And finally we told her, you know, you have been unconscious for a day. And her first words were, count it all joy. Well, she didn't know. Went like that. When we die, just like that. And we'll be with Christ. So having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. There is a verse that you know well. You don't have to turn to it. It's Matthew 24, verse 31. Because I want to read another verse in Philippians in a moment. In Philippians chapter 3 in a moment. But you know this verse from the Olivet Prophecy. It says, He'll send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, you know, that's comforting to me. I had a gentleman in the church tell me years ago, he had a dream that it was the end time, and Christ was returning, and the trumpet sounded, and there were Christians, members that he knew, floating up in the air, and then here went another one, and here went another one. But he hadn't gone, so he said he was kind of jumping, trying to figure how to get up. And I don't think he ever actually got up. He woke up. But he was trying to levitate, and he couldn't do it. On the way here, I went through Texas, scattered Lucretia's ashes on her parents' graves. Now, they all came in the church in 1957, Lucretia was 14. And then she kept her first feast, and later that year she was 15. And her parents were faithful, died in the faith. So when she rises, She'll rise with two people who adored her. And you know, you'd think, what do you do? Where do you go? Where am I supposed to go? You know, that won't be a problem. What did I just read? It says he'll send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect. So there'll be angels waiting for all Christians who have died, all the ones you know. Some of you have lost your husband. Some of you have lost your wife. Some of you have lost good friends in the church, lots of friends. And you and I, we won't have, you know, how can I levitate? I don't know. How can I lift up? How can I fly? Where should I go? God has millions of angels. Billions, apparently. They'll be there to show us, well, here, you go with me. You stay right here. Now, will they say, stand right here? I mean, you're up in the air, meeting Christ in the air, so you're not standing. Maybe they'll say, well, just float right here, or levitate right here, or hang right here. And you'll be with, and he will talk to you later. You'll have your time. I don't know. But if I have a question, I don't have to worry about it. There are going to be these angels there ministering to us as they already are. But we'll hear them, see them. If you have a question, you can ask. Does that sound pretty good? It does to me. Sounds a whole lot better than living in this flesh. Just a whole lot better. Now I said there was another verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship, we had this. Remember, we already had this verse. Mr. Petty read this. Our citizenship is in heaven. Really enjoyed the sermonettes we've had already. Just the night before Mr. Petty spoke, I was with some people. And I said, you know, he's very analytical. We have another man in the church, gives very analytical sermons, goes into scriptures, sees them in ways that I'd never seen them. And then he comes out and he says, because of that, we need to live this way and do this and do that. Mr. Petty's a little different. He's my pastor now, really appreciate having him. He's very analytical. He'll see things in scriptures that I hadn't seen. He's a little different. You get the, you know. So, just. But instead of saying we need to do this, it's usually we need to feel this way because of this scripture. In other words, he's psychoanalyzing us, and how he's psychoanalyzing the scriptures as to how we should feel. Notice how often he used the word motivate. It's not what you do. It's how you're motivated. So I'm thankful after I had told people that that's how he spoke, that the next day, that's exactly what he did. So I appreciate him. He brought out our citizenship is in heaven. And he brought out that we need to be motivated by Jesus Christ, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice verse 21, who will transform our lowly body. Lowly. I'm emphasizing it. Your body is lowly. Now, I'll be honest, I never thought Lucretia's body was lowly. She gained some weight, never announced too much or in the wrong place. Perfect. But her body compared to what... When I saw her the last year, her poor body was lowly for her. And your body, my body, These bodies we have now are just lowly bodies, physical, flesh, getting sick and tired, achy, pained. And so he's talking about our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Remember how often I said, so often connected with flesh and suffering, talks about glory. His glorious body. He's going to transform our lowly bodies. The one that you're in right now, that you and I, that I'm in, that we've cared for so dearly, and try to keep alive, and we should. That it may be conformed to his glorious body. Think of that. Should we fear death? Should we fear the end of this flesh? This lowly body? Now, it's not easy for us as human beings, because we've been programmed for our own good to try to stay alive. And that's for our own good. As all creatures, God has programmed them to try to stay alive. And we do the same. But you know something? We don't have to be under the bondage of fearing death. Now that doesn't happen instantaneously. That's a process of trusting in God more and more and more and more and more through the years. And looking forward and thinking about the future and what the life will be like at that time. You know, I mentioned that I don't want to just dwell on the fact that I've lost Lucretia, but I thought, you know something? I'm still wearing my ring. And I'm just amazed. I hadn't noticed how many widows and widowers I see still wearing their rings. Now, legally, I'm not married. But my heart is still married. So I don't know if I'll ever take this ring off. And marriage of the heart is stronger than legal. But you know something? My relationship with Lucretia in the world tomorrow will be better. Okay, a young man might say, well, I don't think there's going to be much sex. You know something? Any relationship in the spirit is going to be better than any relationship in the flesh. And I look forward to a closer relationship than I've ever had, where we can commune without any problems of human nature. And so our relationships will be with Jesus, with God the Father, with each other. They're going to be better. And yet we hang on to the flesh. We don't need to fear getting out of the flesh. We should try to take care of our bodies. But when we look forward to eternity, what a joy that will be. There are other verses that I'm not going to ask you to turn to that you know. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. They're in the bank. You know, you get a big check until it's in the bank and it's cleared. Well, all of those that we love who have died are in the faith are in the bank. They're in God's bank. He can never lose them. Their salvation is assured. How precious is that to God the Father? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Another one that we read often at funerals. I'm not even telling you where these are. You can look them up. The righteous perishes. And we've had people in the church die, and we can become... You know, when I see that someone who's been suffering has died, I thank God. 2 years ago, when I was here, we had... There were a number of people who were here who have since died. Besides Eleanor Hudson, that was out in a wheelchair, that she's gone, he misses her. That's natural. But we had some others. Sandy, I know the last name. Bob, is Bob here? Malkovic. Sitting in the back. We sat in the back because Lucretia wasn't well, but Sandy had had cancer. We sat behind her in Jekyll Island 3 years ago, and then 2 years ago sat behind her, and she was wearing a blonde wig. What I remember about Sandy, how many of you happen to remember Sandy? Any of you? Oh, most in the back. Okay. You have to get here early to get in the back. So, you know what I remember about her most of all? And she had had this cancer for a good while. Her smile. What a precious, sweet smile she had. And she died this year. So I thank God, but you know, I pray for Bob because he suffers. He misses her every day. We've talked on the phone, and he misses her every day, and I understand that. But I thank God that Lucretia and Sandy are out of those bodies. They became prisons. So I thank God when I see somebody who's been suffering has died. But I do pray for those who are left because they're hurting. It won't be long, but we're flesh and it's hard for us to see the spirit life in the kingdom. So we miss them. And I understand that. And I have talked to some ladies here who lost, I believe one of them, I don't remember exactly, it was about 20 years ago, and she still suffers. In a sense, she misses her husband every day. Lost him a long time ago. Misses him constantly. I was wanting somebody to say, well, my mate died a year ago and I'm fine now. No, it's my mate died and I still miss my mate, even though it's been many, many years. But that'll be gone. It'll be eternal in the heavens. And God says, the righteous perishes, no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from the evil. I thank God every day that Lucretia is out of that body. Every day, often every day. But I still miss her. But you know, I'm just looking forward to being with her in God's kingdom. Notice 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Now we have this feast pictures the blessing that fleshly human beings will have on the earth. And we rejoice that God will take away sickness and hunger, war. What a joy. But that's nothing compared to what is in store for Christians who will be a spirit for you. So much better that we cannot even grasp. The Bible says we can't even understand what it will be like. Talks about, it's really a prophecy of Jesus in one of the Psalms, that it says, joy, speaking of the Father, that joy is at His right hand forever. Joy. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But, Lucretia quoted this verse also. She said, you know, God says, don't think it strange. After this had gone on for week after week and month after month and month after month, she said, God says, don't think it strange. She says, but it sure seems strange. And it does to us. Well, let's try to not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you may partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So if we have some strange trial that seems strange, we can rejoice that we may, you know, when Jesus comes, we're going to be glad with exceeding joy. All of the troubles of the flesh will be gone. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. There are so many verses in the Bible that are encouraging, that deliver us from the bondage of the fear of death. It's not easy, because we are humans and we are flesh. It's built into us to fear death. But we can overcome that. I mean, when we read all the joy that is coming to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, not a dead hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. Now, it's talking about Jesus, but He's actually shifting by the time we get to the end of this sentence to you and me. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away from heaven. So it's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Incorruptible, not like our bodies, which are corruptible. Undefiled, not like our poor bodies, where the knees and the ankles and the elbows and the shoulders that all give us trouble, the head, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. That's what we're doing. We're rejoicing for this earth that will be delivered from Satan, and for us who will be delivered from the flesh. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, the trials and troubles that we go through in this life, may be found to praise. God's going to actually praise you. I believe it's 2 Corinthians that Paul mentions that praise will come from God. Honor. That's waiting for you. Praise and honor and glory. Now, I said so often with suffering, you find the word glory. Been suffering? Being faithful? Praise, honor, glory that God has reserved for you. You personally. Like Dr. Z used to say, remember what he would say at this point? What's your name? For you, Dr. Zimmerman. Oh, it's been so long. I could have a show of hands. It'd probably be a minority. How many of you remember Dr. Zimmerman? He would bring that up at every feast. He'd bring out something like that and he'd say, what's your name? Because he'd want us all to take it personally for us. Praise, honor, and glory. What's your name? At the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of, even now, glory. Thinking about Jesus, our King, receiving the end of your faith through all the trials you've gone through all the trials the church has gone through, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. Romans, and I'm not going to get to all the verses. I'll have to just refer to one at least. But I want to finish with my favorite verse. It's been my favorite verse for years and years and years. But Romans 14, verse 7 through 9, for none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. If you were out in the desert, nobody for miles, you would not be dying by yourself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. If you died in the desert, no human being for miles, the Lord is watching and with you. Therefore, notice that, if we die, we die to the Lord. What a thought. Everybody who in the church who has died, died to the Lord. Just like he was standing, watching Stephen being stoned. Wasn't sitting. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. He's still the Lord of all of our loved ones who have died. And I'm not going to turn to Romans 8 where it says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, and then it goes on, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I cut a little in the middle out there, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But I want to turn to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And ministers and other speakers will often tell you, this is my last verse giving you hope. That's why we do that. To give you hope. No, this will not go on till midnight. But you know, I could take chapter 21, verses 1 through 4 and drag it out till midnight if you really wanted. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's just an expression, means he's going to tabernacle with us, going to tent with us. He's going to live with us. Means his dwelling place will be with us. Not that he lives in a tent. But it was an expression to tabernacle with somebody. It meant to live with them, be with them. The tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And here's my favorite verse in the Bible. I have it on a little plaque on my kitchen table where I sit and eat right in front of me. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Mr. Wilkie was having trouble holding back tears in the sermonette, thinking about his wife being able to see. I bet there have been some tears. God will personally come to Mr. Wilkie And symbolically or figuratively, or take out his handkerchief and wipe away your tears, Mr. Wilkie. And your wife's. And she'll see. And all your tears will be tears of joy. There shall be no more death. We're delivered from the fear of death. We are delivered from the bondage. That's bondage of the fear of death. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Thank you, Father.